welcome everybody to HomeKit Insider. This is our special Apple Developer Conference episode. You've got me, Andrew O'Hara, here with my friend Steven. How you doing, Steven?
Good, man. I feel like we haven't talked in forever. Missing that Monday episode, yeah.
I know. I'm sure everyone was looking at their phone screens on Monday looking for that episode.
That's right.
But we held off.
You know, we've said that the past couple episodes, but I do want to thank Wayne. We have some awesome listeners already, and they're tweeting at us. They're sending us questions via email, and we're going to answer some of those questions in this episode, and we're doing some research on some of the other questions we've gotten, but keep them coming. Tweet with the hashtag HomeKit Insider, and we can answer those questions for you, and tweet at Andrew or I or email us. They'll love to answer those questions on the show. Before we get to the big WWDC news, why don't we hit some of these smaller news items that happened the last couple weeks since we haven't recorded. Vocolink, you've heard us talk about them in the past. They have that air purifier coming soon, but they actually just launched a contact sensor that is now available on Amazon, and you can get that. There's a link to that in show notes. $37 for a two-pack. You actually get two door sensors for $37. And works with Apple HomeKit. I don't believe you need a hub either.
I don't think so. I don't really think any of Vocolink's gear requires a hub.
Right, yeah. You'll need a home hub, like an Apple TV or something like that. But yeah, no hub necessary. So you can get two door contacts from Vocolink. Again, you can find that link in show notes. Also, the Eve Cam, which amazingly sold out so quickly after it became available. You had some information about the Eve Cam, right?
Yeah, so we've been told they're actually back in stock this week. So depending on, it may be even available by the time you are listening to this. And if you want to grab one, you should probably get them quickly before they sell out again, because they sold through their pre-orders just wicked fast. So if you want to grab an Eve Cam, they are going to be back in stock this week, possibly right this very second. So
that's right.
Go grab one of those. There's a link in the show notes if you want to snag one of those while you can.
Yeah, very cool. And I'm excited to learn more about that Eve Cam. And also, the Eero Mesh wireless routers that are HomeKit enabled are now on sale through Apple's website. And so there'll be a link in show notes. You can get that. And now I saw
they're also available through stores. That's the big news The past week they've gone not just through Apple Store.com website or whatever, but the actual in retail stores, which is a big deal for the first like HomeKit router to be sold in Apple stores, especially after, you know, Apple killed off their own airport routers.
Right, exactly. I believe you can also get it on Amazon. I'm looking right now. Eero Mesh Wi-Fi system, a 3-pack on Amazon with HomeKit for $250. That's a crazy deal. So check that link out in show notes as well if you want to grab it. Now, remind me, Andrew, what is the benefit of having HomeKit enabled on HomeKit on a wireless router?
So really, it's basically about privacy and security again. So it's really locking down your smart home devices, your HomeKit devices, and it's making sure that they are not communicating, sending any outside data anywhere else. Now, if you get, you know, normal HomeKit stuff, like something from Eve, which is exclusively HomeKit, it only works with HomeKit. But if you have other devices, sometimes they'll work with like Google Assistant and Amazon Alexa, and they can always be sending back some, you know, whether it's diagnostic information or any other information like that, they can be hitting those remote servers for something. So with a HomeKit router, you can literally see all of your HomeKit devices in there on your network and lock them down to say, these are only able to communicate locally with each other, with your home hub, and that's it. And they have no access to the outside world, which just really improves that security. And you can change that to maybe just that company servers, which is going to be useful for downloading firmware updates, or if you want to have them to have full access to the internet, you don't care, you know, if they happen to be going out there or not. So just a little bit more security for any of your smart home devices.
Very good. So yeah, that link to the Eero Mesh 3-pack, and that is the regular Eero. I just realized that there's the Eero, which is the dual band system. That's the 3-pack for $250. And then if you want to get the Eero Pro, which is the tri-band Wi-Fi system, that gets into like the $350, depending on how many points in of the mesh you want. But check out those links in show notes. You can get it there. And we are going to get to the WWDC news in just a minute. There's a lot to unpack there. We just wanted to get some of these quick news bits out of the way. The last piece I have here is LifeSmart Colo Light light strip is now available on Amazon as well. You've heard us maybe talk about the Eve light strip or the Philips Hue. And so this is another HomeKit enabled light strip that is now available. LifeSmart is the brand, the Colo light, not color light. It's just Colo. And you can actually get it. There's a 5% off on Amazon right now, actually. But you can get a 30 LED light strip for $45. And it's available Amazon Prime, all that good stuff. So check out that link in show notes if you're looking to get more light strips. Maybe put it around your entertainment center or in a room. And you can find that in show notes as well. So pretty cool. Do you have one of these? Or do you have any experience with the Colo lights?
No, I just saw it popped up for sale this week when I'm running kind of through some HomeKit checks, and I thought it was interesting. I always just love more, you know, light strips out there. Light strips are one of my most exciting things to kind of install around the house because they can add like such cool accent lighting or functional lighting. There's a lot of different stuff to unpack with those. And they're just so versatile versus a regular light bulb that, you know, you have to kind of a fixture for. Light strips can go under counters, under cabinets, along mantles, behind furniture, underneath furniture, under beds, closets, bathrooms. Like, literally, there's so many places to mount and use these. So I love just seeing new light strips hit the market.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of people use them as under cabinet lighting, like in a kitchen. And that seems like a pretty slick idea.
Yep, I got them in mind.
Very cool. So before we get to the WWDC news, we did want to get to some listener questions. We had a ton. We're doing some research on a few of the questions. You guys, I'm not going to say stumped us, but you guys are definitely challenging us with some of your HomeKit projects and HomeKit issues. But here's a couple. This one is from Drew Caddy on Twitter. He tweeted at, he's asking about bright light bulbs. His goal is really to get brightness out of his light bulbs. And he was asking LifeX versus Hue bulbs. You know, should he get LifeX or should he try to find a Hue bulb? Because he wants to use Hue dimmers. And again, a Hue dimmer is not going to, if you use that Friends of Hue type thing, like the Lutron Aurora that we talked about last time, it's not going to work with the LifeX lights. So our suggestion for Drew is Hue actually just released a brighter white bulb. I think it was like a day or a day after he actually tweeted us this question. And so there'll be a link in show notes to this, but it's the Philips Hue. It's the new A21 E26 bulb. They're saying it is a much brighter, more powerful light bulb. It does not change colors. It's not a color-changing bulb like RGB or anything like that. It's just white. But if brightness is what you're looking for, this might be the answer for you. So check out that link in show notes. That's the Hue A21 new bulb.
Yeah, that's only $20. And it's, what was it, like 1,600 lumen output?
Yep,
on there?
Yeah, that's right.
Which I think that's a great option. And it's only $20. And LifeX, they are very bright as well. They're ridiculously bright for smart bulbs. But they're usually, like, their brightest one is like 1,100. Mm. And I think that's, but it's full color. So it's a kind of a trade-off there because
right.
You can kind of go with the Hue one, which is $20 and just white, but it's 1,600 lumens, or you can go with the LifeX, which is like $80, but does full color, and it's still 1,100.
Right.
The LifeX ones are also Wi-Fi, whereas the Hue ones are relying on that bridge.
Right.
So I think that's, for me, that would be the main differentiator, like, obviously, brightness is important, but then you have to think of where does light factor into that, and then where does the, you know, the bridge versus Wi-Fi aspect factor into that.
Right.
So that's a really hard question. If you're literally just going for brightness, then it's Hue hands down because of that new 1,600 lumen bulb.
Right.
But if you're looking at any of those other aspects, it kind of gets a little murky.
Right.
And I guess Stephen, we should probably mention too that this maybe could have gone in that news portion there, but. Hue also, not only did they release that A21 bulb, they introduced a new Bluetooth version of their LightStrip Plus. Hmm. And for the first time, you can reuse the portions of the LightStrip that you cut off.
Yes.
If you've used any LightStrip, they're all, you can always trim them, but then you're just like throwing away those chunks. And it kind of sucks because these things can be expensive, especially like the Hue one for a 2 meter is like an $80 LightStrip because right. You're getting like the actual wireless components than the LightStrip itself. So it's a real bummer, but now they're including this tiny little adapter that allows you just to reuse those cutoff portions, which is pretty huge. So new version of their light strip, and they also have a new version of their Bloom table lamp. Mm. Bloom has been out for a while, but now it is better colors there. I think it's a little bit brighter, and I think it also works with Bluetooth now, which it didn't before.
Very cool. Yeah, I'll put links to all that in show notes. Another question, this came from Jeff Fuller. He has an automation that has been working on and off for a while. It's, I believe, when a light turns on, he wants it to turn off after a certain number of minutes. So he triggers it either manually or at a switch, and then it turns off after a certain amount of time. This actually sounds similar to the question that you answered, Andrew, with the coffee maker, I believe, which turning it into a...
Yeah, it was like last week's episode.
Right, so like turning it into a Siri shortcut gives you more options. But he sent us a screenshot of his automation, and you do have a stipulation here when the stairway main lights turns on only when somebody is home, and then it turns off after 2 minutes. And so I would suggest not having any stipulations about when somebody is home or any of those other kind of options that you could use for the trigger. I would say let the motion or let the light turning on be the only trigger and then turning it off after 2 minutes. So remove that only when somebody is home qualification and see if it starts working there. And you can also refer to last week's episode about turning the automation into a shortcut and see if maybe that works any better for you. Also remember, make sure you're on the latest OS too. I'm not sure if this screenshot is like the latest iOS and HomeKit version. So just make sure your devices are updated to the latest firmware and that your Apple devices are on the latest OS.
One thing that I would also recommend, because it's odd that this is always like a thing that people don't always think about, is reboot your home hub. So whether that's your HomePod or your Apple TV, sometimes those can just get into a funny state and just rebooting them will fix automations that aren't running. And people don't always think about that because they're thinking about their device in their hand or their motion sensor or their HomeKit device, and they're not thinking about that home hub. And sometimes it's the one that's having that problem. So just rebooting that home hub, whatever it may fix that issue as well.
Cool. And the last listener question here, this is from Rayburn, also on Twitter. They were asking that they have a small closet, basically a walk-in closet, with a toggle wall switch outside. And he wants to be able to use a motion detector in the room so when you walk in the room, the light turns on, and just a simple automation like this. Now, my solution is probably a little too complicated, but I'll give it anyway. If I already have HomeKit devices in my house, I'm already using HomeKit in my automations, I would get a motion detector like the Eve motion detector. I'll put a link to that in show notes. I actually have one that I'm using in my living room. So when people walk in the living room, it turns on all the lights. So I would get something like an Eve motion detector and put it in the closet, put it somewhere where it's sure to see any motion that walks in. And then, you know, you can use a Philips Hue bulb and automate it that way. Or you can try to do a LifeX. Or you can switch out the actual switch, the wall switch. You know, you can use one of the Akara light switches, a Lutron light switch. Again, an Eve light switch might be best because if you don't already have a hub for other devices, the Eve light switch will work without a hub. It just uses Wi-Fi. So you could do the solution of changing the switch out, using a motion detector, and setting up the automation that way. When it detects motion, the light switch is on. You can set a similar automation that when it stops detecting motion, the lights turn off. I do that same thing in my living room, where if no one is home and there's no motion, then my living room lights turn off. So you can use that as a solution, but Andrew, tell me, you also had kind of a more inexpensive solution. What did you do there?
Yeah, I actually had something really, really similar. Basically a walk-in closet that we sometimes used. And as much as I love HomeKit, enough to basically co-host a show about it, I also realize when there are times when you don't need to use it. And I think that's an important distinction. And for me, when I'm looking at, you know, that walk-in closet, I could jam in a HomeKit, you know, motion sensor and a HomeKit light bulb or a HomeKit strip or a HomeKit switch, like all of those kind of tied together. And I'm just looking at dollar signs, basically, as that's racking up for something that's simply just a walk into my closet and the lights come on situation. And there's no time where I'm going to be automating that. I'm not going to be automating it based on a camera motion so that I can, you know, scare off an intruder. I'm not going to be doing it on the time of day. I'm not going to do it based on if the windows are open or not. I'm not going to be doing any of the stuff that I would normally do with a smart home kind of device. And fortunately, Ray here did put in a stipulation that HomeKit compatible is okay, but not required, which is why I'm saying don't do HomeKit. Don't bother with it. You can buy dirt cheap ones. I did the same thing. I bought this set of two light strips. They were meant for going under a bed. They were very bright, and they were meant for going under a bed, so you'd step down on the floor, and these lights would come on. Boom. I put these inside of my closet on the upper two corners there, like strips all the way down inside the closet. I don't remember what they were. They had no name. They were very cheap because the tech there is so simple. There's no wireless communications. They essentially just plugged in or however I even connected them. And you walked into the closet, the lights came on, you walked out, the lights went right back off. Dead simple, very cheap, easy to do. Just look on Amazon for like motion connected light strips and stuff, and you'll find a pile of them. And I think that's the easiest way, the cheapest way to do it for a room like that where you don't really need any additional automation aspects. That is absolutely the road that I would go down.
Yeah, and one of the other benefits too is depending on where this walk-in closet is, I know the way my house is set up, my master bedroom closet is the farthest from any of my wireless routers and my hubs of my different HomeKit devices. And so like I had issues with the Akara motion sensor at first being so far away from the hub. If you do choose to do a motion sensor and maybe your Wi-Fi signal is not great in that closet, or it's really far from a home hub that it has to communicate to, you do run into that intermittent connection, and that's going to be frustrating as well, because then it's not going to trigger the automation if it's not connected well. So I will say Andrew's solution of probably a cheaper motion sensor, not HomeKit light strip or light, it might be the best solution.
As always, we want to take just a moment to thank our sponsor for this podcast, Eve. So Eve makes a pile of HomeKit accessories and exclusively HomeKit accessories. Recently, they've launched their new Eve Cam, which we've talked about on the show, which is a HomeKit secure video camera that allows you to keep an eye on your home around the clock while protecting your privacy at the same time. It doesn't collect any data, doesn't require any third-party account, and everything is fully encrypted and all data is processed locally in your home. Your home hub will analyze footage and help you discern when it sees just one of your pets or a person. It has motion sensor, which can be used to trigger other accessories and automations, and the camera can automatically switch to privacy mode when you're home. The camera also has full 1080p resolution, night vision up to 5 meters away, 150-degree field of view, infrared motion sensor, and two-way communication. It also requires no additional subscription for storage, simply relying on your existing iCloud storage plan. Eve Cam already sold out its first batch of pre-orders, but is back in stock this week and is ready for you to pick up. So if you want to grab an Eve Cam for yourself, you can get it from the link in the show notes. Thanks again to Eve for sponsoring our podcast.
Yeah, man. And Andrew, I've been playing around with a number of Eve devices, adding it to my HomeKit setup here. Been using their motion detector, been using their light switch around my entertainment center. And man, they have some awesome stuff. And I love that you don't need a hub to use these Eve devices. They just work great.
I know that everything is hubless. Everything is Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. These were actually the first HomeKit devices that I tested, by the way, like years ago when HomeKit launched, they sent me a couple of their first things, like just trying them out, all the contact sensor, motion sensor. And literally, like, I don't know how many years later, I am still using their motion sensor. I'm still using their contact sensors. They've been reliable. I've had no issues with them. And their Eve app, I've been recommending the Eve app to like everyone who doesn't want to pay for a solid smart home control app, HomeKit app. I love the Eve app, and it's been continuing to get new updates coming down the line. Like they just added new stuff for the camera and their contact sensor they just launched that has like tamper detection, and right, it can alert you if someone's like trying to tamper with your window, trying to get in. So they've just got a lot of great stuff. I've always been a fan of them, so I was really excited that they wanted to sponsor our podcast.
Yeah, and I would also say I have one of the Eve plugs, just the on-off switches. It tells you the power that it consumes or whatever device is connected to it is consuming. So that's pretty cool. But I actually used it outside for a pool pump. And I know it's not necessarily rated for outdoor use, but I did try a couple other smart plugs outside and they failed soon after a couple rains. But this Eve smart plug has been outside for about a month and it's been going strong, working great. So kudos to Eve just for making an awesome HomeKit products. Highly recommend. There's links in show notes to several of their products. We've actually used it to answer some of your listener questions in this episode. So thanks again to Eve for sponsoring the show. All right. Well, Andrew, we got to get to it.
We do.
News from WWDC 2020. We didn't get a huge section, but we did get some pretty cool HomeKit features that were announced, especially around HomeKit Secure Video.
I got a big list here, man. Like there's definitely stuff that we didn't get that I wanted, but I got a lot of stuff that I didn't know I wanted.
Right.
And I got some stuff that I did want. So it's a good little mixed bag of things.
Well, I'd love to hear some of the things that you didn't get. I'm curious, but just a couple of the high level bullet points. Actually, right up front, Apple announced that they are working with Amazon and Google on a new interoperability standard. And I'd love to get your thoughts on this too. I find that interesting. You know, typically when I hear a new standard, I get less excited because it usually just means, oh, another standard that none of my current devices will work with. But it seems like the implication is that this standard will then apply maybe to older devices or maybe devices that weren't HomeKit compatible before, maybe become HomeKit compatible. I'm not sure, but what were your thoughts on this new standard?
Well, I don't think this is entirely new. I'm pretty sure this is, they're more publicizing, they're talking about their work with this new consortium to make more devices work with multiple platforms. So the idea just is, one of the kind of things that the holdup for HomeKit users is sometimes the long period it takes for devices to come to market. If you have been waiting on a HomeKit remote, a HomeKit video doorbell, then you know the exact problem. And you know that those devices have been announced a long time ago, and yet we still have nothing in our hands.
Right.
So part of that certification process has been a struggle. So Apple has done things in the past like few months that have really gone towards helping streamline that further, including open sourcing the HomeKit development protocols and working on this kind of open standard with Amazon and Google. So it's going to hopefully allow devices to be developed quicker on an open standard so they can implement this standard and devices will work with Alexa, Assistant, and HomeKit all just out of the box and streamline that development process by a lot. And this is really the first time they're like, it happened, but this is like, you know, Apple is actively touting that. Like, I'm glad to hear them talk about it and be like, HomeKit still exists. We are still working on it. We are pushing very hard for it to continue to be a thing with this open standard, with open sourcing, with these new improvements to HomeKit and privacy. And that was all very good for me.
Oh, I gotcha. Very good. Well, some of the other announcements, they said adaptive lighting will be coming to HomeKit and working with smart bulbs that support it. They specifically talked about time of day adaptive lighting. So in the morning, it can be a certain color. Midday might get cooler to help you focus. And then it might take out those blues in the lights to give you a warm lighting in the evening as you wind down. So adaptive lighting coming to smart bulbs. Did you have any other information on that specifically?
Nope, not yet. I've got all these betas installed and it looks like right now that's not even in the first beta of, you know, iOS and everything. If that sounds familiar at all, it sounds like one night shift. It sounds like what your phone and your computer are already doing for you every single day if you have night shift enabled. And two, LifeX has actually been doing this for a while. I think others have been doing it well. Hue, I think, also does something similar to there where you can kind of program that for stuff because I do that with like my kitchen under cabinet mounted ones. But LifeX does it extremely well with the lights coming on, you know, early in the morning, slowly warming up, get cooler during the day, and taking out those blues going into the evening. They've done an excellent job with those. So I'm just glad to see this working with HomeKit. So any devices, any light bulbs that support that kind of warmth spectrum should be able to work with this.
Okay, very cool. Also, there was some minor updates to the Home app in iOS 14. And now I've installed the iOS 14 developer beta on my iPad so I can play around with it. You and Wes from Apple Insider, you guys go all in. You put the developer betas on seemingly all your devices, which I don't know, man. I always get a little wary of that. But, you know, I figured this year iOS 14 doesn't have a ton of iCloud changes. And so that's typically my concern is installing a beta. Is it going to mess with my iCloud backups, my iCloud photos, and that kind of stuff? You know, I feel like I've heard some horror stories in the past about iCloud data getting messed up, but it seems like the changes this year aren't going to touch that much. So I felt a little better about it. But looking at the new Home app for iOS 14, one of the biggest features is these status symbols. Now, when you open the Home app, above your favorite accessories and above your favorite scenes, there's a row of accessories that the app is kind of trying to surface for you automatically. as far as I can tell, there's not a way to manually put certain devices in that row. It's just kind of surfacing them as it thinks you want to see it. And it's basically giving you the status of certain devices visually. So it can tell you that there's motion going on in this room, that this light bulb is on or off. It gives you the temperature and you can see what your thermostat is set to. So it's a nice quick visual cue of some of the status of your devices currently. But and you can tell me if you've discovered something different, but you can't, I don't think, manually change what's in that row.
It's not really giving you everything that's in your room. It's just giving you like the status of what you need to know. But Apple is determining what it thinks you need to know.
Right.
So I'm looking at mine, you know, right now, and it's telling me any devices that are not responding, which for me is always, I hate that that's the first thing in my list. For normal people, it's probably important. But for people who are testing this stuff out on a regular basis, who constantly have things they've added to the home app and then, you know, had to return to vendors or just no longer using after testing, they just are always obnoxious that I don't remove them right away. So I always have an alert that like something's not responding because it's not something that I'm actively using. So that alert is in there that something's not responding.
Right.
Let you know of any low batteries that you have. So door locks, anything just battery powered, motion sensors, contact sensors, all that'll be alerting you. And it'll do it for each individual room as well. So it's context aware. So if you're looking at the whole home view, you have all those statuses there, and then it has them by individual room. So then I've got updates available. I've got my air quality. It gives me a range for my house and then tells you my humidity, my temperature, and my air quality. In one of those little orbs, it lets me know that my security system is off. It lets me know that a door is open. I think that's kind of nice. If you just look at your... The idea is you can really just look at a glance and see stuff you have to know. So I should need to know that my alarm is off, my living room door is open, my door is unlocked, and my blinds are open.
Mm.
Like, it also has, like, shades, and it has, like, motion is detected. There's the hallways occupied. Someone's walking down the hallway right now. Like, those are all things to be aware of. So you don't get to pick them, but it just lets you know, like, things are on or unlocked or open. Like, things like that that you may want to know when you're just kind of looking quickly at a room.
And it's definitely a little buggy, at least for me. That row of icons kind of overlaps sometimes on the thing, and I have to force quit the app. But again, this is the very first developer beta, so don't judge that just yet. So some of the biggest changes that came to HomeKit was HomeKit Secure Video Updates. This is, I think, some of the most exciting stuff. Real quick, some of the new features are activity zones. So with HomeKit-enabled security cameras, you can set certain zones, meaning only notify me when there's motion in this specific area, or ignore these other areas, basically. So you can set activity zones for your HomeKit-enabled cameras.
HomeKit Secure Video-enabled cameras.
HomeKit, right.
Exactly. Only works with HSV. Any regular HomeKit cameras, zones will not work on.
Right. Got it. So things like the Circle View, the new Eve Cam, not so much like the Arlo, right? Those will not.
Correct.
Yeah, those will not work with the new activity zones. So this, another feature for HomeKit Secure Video is facial recognition. So if you have a HomeKit Secure doorbell camera, which again, I don't know if any exists just yet, right? I don't think you can get one.
There's two. One is like $800.
Right.
Called like the Robin Pro line. And then there's another one like Yobi, which I think is out, but it also does not support HSV. So zones and all that stuff will not work.
Again, limited camera choices, but the facial recognition, basically it can recognize people in your family. And it can notify you when that specific person is at your door. And here's the cool part. Your HomePod can actually announce who is at the door when it recognizes the face. So your HomePod can say, so-and-so is at the door through facial recognition. In addition, with a new tvOS update, tvOS 14, you can actually get that HomeKit Secure video on your Apple TV screen when someone rings a doorbell or... I didn't get it if there was other ways to actually trigger that besides a doorbell, if it was just if motion is detected or not. But it can throw the HomeKit Secure Video live feed onto your Apple TV screen.
Not only is this really cool, but how they do it is pretty like genius. I really like how they did this because there's others that do facial rec with cameras, right? The Natatmo one does it and it worked very solid and I liked it. But this is just an example of why, you know, HomeKit is really poised to be, continues to be like the best smart home platform because of how this stuff works together. The fact that it can show up on your Apple TV, that your HomePod can announce it, all of those together, and how it's getting that facial recognition, it's actually using the photos library on your phone.
Wow.
So anyone that you've tagged in a photo in your Photos app, which I know a lot of people do, I definitely do. So I have ones that'll show up like, oh, here's pictures of your wife, or here's your family pictures. And like they're tied to like, you know, their profile. Like I already have all those photos there. So it's like, hey, these are the people in your life. Let's look and see if we see them on the cameras when they show up at your door. Or if we don't recognize someone. I think that's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't have to kind of program anything. You don't have to tell who those people are manually ahead of time. Like, it's literally just like, it is recognizing them based on the photos on your phone. And because this is Apple and HomeKit, privacy is still huge. So when you're turning this on, you literally have to manually turn on, I mean, maybe on, or maybe they'll probably give you some prompt if you want to use it when it launches. But right now you turn it on. And then after that, it's like, do you want to allow, do you want facial recognition on? Then do you want to allow access to your photos library? And it explains like what that means and how that works. And then you approve it before you get to that step, because it's not going to just start looking at faces and everything. But mind you, this is all being done locally on your devices, just like with HSV, where it's recognizing the motion and alerting you and recording and everything and streaming to you directly through your devices. This is all being processed locally. So it's using, you know, your local stuff to recognize that face and compare and then alert you properly through any of those channels.
Yeah. So that is very cool. I'm actually going to probably pick up a Logitech Circle View. Actually just bought it, let's be honest. So that's coming, so I'll be able to test some of that as well. But yeah, pretty cool. Now, did you discover anything else that wasn't specifically announced in the keynote, but some new features that are coming?
Yeah, I did. Okay, fun stuff here. Circling back to the Home app. So not only are we getting, you know, those little status bars along the top,
right,
but there's just a few different layout changes. So when you tap on that little house icon in the upper left-hand corner, it switches more down to like a drop-down list. Then below that, you have like your home settings, room settings, then your edit screen options. If you go into an accessory, there's actually a bunch of cool little now suggested automations that can happen. So ones that it can recognize the device and when it may or may not make sense. So for example, if I'm looking at my blinds, prompts me, do I want to turn on an automation for when the last person leaves? So I may want to close my blinds when the last person leaves the house. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Looking at lights, I can have my suggested here for my like my fireplace lights turn on when that living room detects motion, turn on when the kitchen sensor detects motion, because those are in the same zone together. When the last person leaves, turn them off, and turn on when the first person arrives. So like ones that make sense, but you don't have to go in and manually make those. You don't have to go and create all those automations one by one. They're automatically created for you, which I just think is such a good idea. I love that. So that's going to make definitely kind of setting some of those things up a little bit easier, quicker, and you can just toggle those on or off right away from within each of those accessories. Bouncing out of the Home app, we have new stuff in Control Center.
Right.
So Control Center actually brings out a lot of your HomeKit accessories now. You cannot control these. So similar to those little status ones inside of the Home app, you don't get to pick what's here, but it just has, it knows what you run and when you run them, and it kind of basically tries to figure out when you're going to need stuff. More of that predictive analysis that Apple has been doing recently. So for me right now, it knows that a lot of times when you lock my door, I turn my living room lights on and off, and I close my, or I open and close my shades at different times. So all of those are like presented here inside of my Control Center. I also have access to my favorites right away from within Control Center, which I think I had before, but it's just a little bit changed interface now.
Yeah.
And then I have my most frequent scene that I run, which is my good night scene. Like I have to, obviously don't run it at noon, but I run that one probably the most frequently because I do it every single day, where some of the other ones are like kind of on or off. So it has my frequently run scenes in there too. So that's all now here in Control Center.
Let me also just say, you know, I just looked at the Control Center on my iPad that's running iOS 14. And man, there's a lot of room on that iPad screen. And to have Control Center just kind of be this, I don't even know, quarter of the screen or less on the right side. Now it's surfacing some of those individual devices, which is cool. But I kind of wish they would expand the footprint of that a little more so you can get more devices. And I would really love to customize the devices that show up there for sure. Because I just looked in the settings. And if you go to Control Center, it doesn't even give you an option necessarily for home stuff. Like it doesn't say anything about home. Or, oh, no, I'm sorry. So there is a toggle switch that says show home controls and include recommended controls for home accessories and scenes when your iPad is at home. So there's a toggle where you can just turn off all home stuff. But yeah, anyway, I would love to specify specific devices that show up in that control center for quick access.
Yep. Let's see, we've got the home view now in control center on Apple TV. So holding down that TV button slides over that control view. It brings up all of your cameras from your house that you can just cycle through, and you can go ahead and run any scenes that you have. So right from your Apple TV, boom, pull it up, access your stuff. Very easy to do now. You can even watch those full screen. So that's really great. Though there are third-party ones that you can utilize. AirPlay 2 now, that's part of HomeKit. It's better at streaming. AirPlay 2 is better streaming. That's part of HomeKit. It can now do 4K video from the Photos app to your Apple TV.
Right.
And this is huge. HomeKit is now coming to Catalyst for the Mac. So the Mac has a redesigned Home app, right, and there are Catalyst apps that will work as well. So we can see Aaron Pierce bringing his stuff to the Mac. So whether that's HomeWall or just any other HomeKit apps will now be able to come to the Mac instead of just Apple's first party one. So that's really, really exciting to see.
Very cool. All right. Well, exciting stuff for HomeKit coming from WWDC, especially those HomeKit secure video updates. And again, we'll be testing that coming soon. So have you seen with your updated devices on iOS 14, are you able to set activity zones and such?
No, right now, activity zones and adaptive lights are not really working fully. That's just going to come down through the beta process as we go. But it's been good. I mean, a lot of stuff we're going to have to wait on. You know, I cannot tell you how excited I am to see HomeKit apps on my Mac. I think there's so many abilities there, you know, being able to tie them into my menu bar or the different widgets you can have now, or just apps in general, be great outside of Apple. So we're going to have to wait for developers on that. We're going to have to wait for, I don't know what updates are going to be required from accessories to support, you know, zones or anything like that, or if that's all just being done locally. If we don't need any firmware and we just need to have our home hubs updated, you know, Apple TV and HomePod,
right,
on iOS 14, tvOS 14. I'm not sure. So a lot of the stuff we can't even play with, but I'm already excited by it. It just looks sleeker, looks better. We got some of these things we were looking for, like facial rec, like definitely stuff coming a long way.
All right. Well, let us know. What are you most excited about from WWDC or some of the other news that we talked about this week? Hit us up on Twitter. Andrew's Twitter handle and mine is in show notes, so you can find us there. Also, a link to email us your questions or comments. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to tweet your questions and thoughts and use the hashtag HomeKitInsider. We're watching that hashtag and using it to pull up questions for the show every week. Keep sending them in. We'll be doing some research and looking up answers for those as well. And if you haven't yet, we'd appreciate if you could give us a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. You guys have been awesome. Many of you have done that already. I think we're actually featured in the top new tech podcast, right, in Apple Podcasts.
We were rated for the top new tech podcast, and we were trending in the tech podcast overall. We were in the top, like, less than, we were much higher, very high in the top 50 of tech podcasts in the US. So that was awesome to see. Thank you to everyone who's been downloading, rating, subscribing, everything to keep us trending.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. That's been awesome. So thank you for that. We'll go back to our regularly scheduled episode release on Monday. Every Monday is when you can check out a new HomeKit Insider episode. But we hope you enjoyed this WWDC special. Again, thanks for your support, for your questions, for your comments. We really appreciate it. And we'll catch you next time.